we've been reading through Mark. And who's enjoyed the readings thus far? Who's anyone yet enjoying the reading? You've done your little homework. You've read on the story. Well, the particular passage on it where Jesus calms the storms. I think a relevant passage for the storms that our world is facing today. But when you read the passage, what does it challenge you about? I just want to flesh it out. Because this is just how God speaks to me through this. I'm sure there's other things. But what is it that God challenges you through that passage where Jesus calms the storm? They trust him. They trust him. What else? He's in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. What else? Sorry? Yeah, what does faith look like? Yeah. What else? Yeah, the power of words and the authority in which he said them. What else? Yeah? There's no need to be fearful when Jesus is there. Amen. He hasn't given a spirit of fear or timidity, of power. Sound mind. What else? Peace and storms are not opposites. I like it. Anything else? You know, the Sea of Galilee, I was doing some reading, was notorious for storms right out of the blue. They talk about that the mountains and the valleys around it, that were around it, sort of had channeled in, and then there would be this channel where wind would just blow up and there'd be a big gust, and it could just happen like that. It could be like beautiful one. It'd be like Melbourne, you know? You never know what you're going to get, you know what I mean? Like storm, raining, sunshine. Whatever. It is out of the blue, it would just, like, there'd be a big storm and the winds would come, and there was a real issues with this. So much so that they talked about that they would think that these storms were sort of like these evil spirits. And they would talk about that as being evil. And it's interesting that when Jesus uses the words to rebuke the winds and the wave, he uses the same words about to rebuke the demon-possessed man in Mark 1:25. And for the people on the boat and the people in the other boats that are around, there was this authority that they believed that this was more than just nature. They believed that they were under attack. That's just interesting. I don't have a point to that. But the first thing I want to say is this, in verse 35, I've got four key points. I've really got one key point. These are just some things that might prompt you or encourage you. But the first one is this, in verse 35, the day of the evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Let us leave and go over to the other side. And the first thing I think that God wants to say to this church, I always say, God, what is it that you want to say to your people and to this church and to myself? And this is it. Jesus is always wanting to take you somewhere. Jesus wants to take you somewhere. Jesus wasn't idle all the time. There was times when he was still, but Jesus takes people to places. He wants to take you somewhere. He wants to take you to a new revelation, deeper places, closer friendships. The thing about Christianity and our walk with God is that you've never arrived. You've never arrived to the point you go, oh, I can relax, pull up stumps, settle down. No. You've never arrived. He wants to continually throughout your life to take you into new places. I was thinking about, Betty, I'm sorry, I'm going to tell everyone your age here. You're 90 and you're fabulous. You know what? I think she's the oldest person in the room, right? No? Oh, sorry, embarrassing. You want to have, what age do we have? 21. Okay, 21. Older than 90. Okay. But God still wants to take you to places. He still wants to reveal you. He still wants you to go deeper in the Spirit. He still wants to do great things to your life. God still wants to take you to new places. To new places. He wants to use your life to impact this world. He hasn't finished with you. He wants to take you to a new place. You know, it says Isaiah 43, 18, verse 9, it says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. You know, the past is good, but it doesn't lead us. This is where we're headed. It says this, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. And it goes on, see, I'm doing a new thing. And it goes on a little bit more, it says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And I love the point is, I am making a way. God is making a way. And He wants to take you to a new place. You cannot be settled for where you are. I'm not settled for where this church is or where I am spiritually, because God has some other place He wants to take me. He has some other place He wants to take you. He wants to take you into a deeper place in your spirit and in your walk with Him than never before. The intimacy with God that you've felt, that is nothing compared to the intimacy and walk that Jesus wants to take in your life now. Think about your marriage for those that are married. You think, oh, life's good, you know. We went to a bit of a marriage for a couple of days, a marriage retreat on the back end of Officers Fellowship. And you had to give your marriage a score about, you know, how happy you were. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. You had to fold it up. And then Lauren would do hers and I'll do mine. And then we had to share it with each other and talk about it. Talk about awkward. It was okay. Now, a marriage is great. Not okay. I mean, it's great. Anyway, move on, she says. I forgot what the point I was trying to make out of all that. Intimacy, yes. Thank you. And you're listening. Good job. Intimacy. So, I'm making you way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. He wants to take you to new places, my friends. Don't settle that, you know, in the marriage. You just don't want to. Look, the danger in settling is danger that you die. And you're just cruising in your marriage. Take a detour, my friend. They talk about in marriage, they say to go in a straight line, you're headed in this direction, it takes about 2% adjustments to make sure, you know, that. And marriage and our Christian walk is a bit like an adjustment. If we want to go and be God's man, God's woman, we've got to keep adjusting. But when we fall asleep at the wheel and you hear the da-da-da-da-da-da-da on the side of the road or whatever, what happens normally is you wake up and sometimes you'll end up in a ditch. And in our walk with God, sometimes if we fall asleep on our walk with God, sometimes we'll end up in places that we do not want to be. We've got to continually be attentive at the wheel, adjusting just enough. You know, my mum, well, I say my mum and dad gave me a present, but I know that mum buys all the presents in our household. But my mum gave me a present when I was about 21, I think, or 21, 22. And you know when you get presents and you don't really appreciate them till later? No. Everyone's like, okay. You know, someone gives you, like, for instance, someone gives you socks and undies. You're like, oh, that's thanks. But then you're really appreciative later when you don't. And you're, oh, these new undies. Yeah, beauty. Or the socks, you know. Look at these socks. When I got these socks for Father's Day, I thought, oh, thanks. Number one dad. But today, when they're the only pair of socks in there, I was like, man, I'm thankful for these socks. Well, anyway, my mum and dad gave me a gift, and it was 21 and 22. And it was a picture. And I'm still living at home, so I'm thinking, are they trying to tell me to get out and find your own place to hang up your picture, or what's going on here? I don't understand. But it's a picture, and it's a picture of a bit of a bush and a bit of a country picture. I thought she probably bought it for Dad, and I don't know, she didn't have anything in the stocking, so she gave it to me. I don't know if much thought went into it. But anyway, I'm carving them up today. Anyway, but this is the thing. She says this. In it, it says this. The journey gives meaning to our destination. The journey gives meaning to our destination. The journey gives meaning to our destination. I don't know about you, but sometimes we are so focused on the destination, we don't do the journey justice. And it was in the journey to the other side, that God revealed Himself and they experienced something like never before. The journey, my friends, is just as important as the destination. You know, I think people in singleness, you struggle through this and you work through singleness and what does that look like and how do I struggle with this and how does it, but you know what? That journey through singleness is just as important as the time when you find your lifelong partner. The things that God's teaching you, the things that He's reminding you about is just as important. When you're dreaming of something great and you're going through all this hardship and pain or whatever, this journey, embrace it because God is teaching you, He's molding you, He's shaping you into His likeness. The journey gives meaning to our destination. And the journey for those that were journeying to the other side, that was a destination, but God did an amazing thing in the middle, hey. And a lot of us are on the journey. A lot of us are on this journey, and you know what? God wants to do something amazing in the middle. He wants to do something amazing. You know, I woke up at about 2:30 and I couldn't get back till about 4:30 last night. I was like, okay, God, well, if I'm going to be awake, at least give me something for my message. And He gave me this. Spiritually waiting is seeking God while being still. Spiritually waiting is seeking God while being still. I think a lot of us think waiting is not getting to a destination. I think waiting is essential if you want to get to the destination. I think waiting is part of the journey. I think waiting is part of the journey. Seeking God in that waiting is part of the journey. Actually, waiting is part of the development process in your spirit. Actually, waiting on God and seeking Him in the times when He doesn't necessarily hearing from Him, waiting is the key part of taking you into a new place with God. Spiritually waiting is seeking God while being still, and it's part of the journey. Jesus is always wanting to take you somewhere, and you need to claim that today. Jesus wants to take you somewhere. He does. He wants to take you in a new place that you've never been before. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? And He wants to take this church, He wants to take the Salvation Army to new places that it's never been before. The second point that I want to bring out is in verse 36. I'll make this one a quick one. In verse 36, it says this. Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat, and there were other boats with Him. Leaving the crowd behind. If you want to go somewhere with Jesus, you must be willing to leave the crowd. If you want to go somewhere with Jesus, to a destination, a new place, you have to be willing to leave the crowd. You have to be willing to let the things, these normal things in life, some of the worldly things and worldly values. If you want to go somewhere with Jesus, you must be willing to leave the crowd. Colin Studley spoke at Officers Fellowship, and he talked about making margin. He said the issue with the problems with Christians, and while they don't hear the word or the message from the promptings of the Spirit, he says we don't create any margin in our life. We max our life out and we think it's productive. You know, we've got so many hours in the week and we max them out, think I'm going to be the most productive I can. He says, if you have no margin in your life, you cannot hear God speak. It's like we max it out. You know, you just say going on 100, we max it out. I'm like 98, 99. And he goes, and it doesn't take much to push you over the edge in life. If more Christians had more margin space in their life and didn't walk at full capacity all the time, we would allow God to hear us, we would hear His voice more. We need to create margin in our life. And then when crisis things like that happen and we need to adapt and change, we'll have time and space to do that. If you want to go somewhere with Jesus, you must be willing to leave the crowd and make margin in your life. The next little point is this, and I love it. It was mentioned just down the front here. You'll never drown when Jesus is in the boat. You will never be overcome when Jesus is in your boat. You will never fail when Jesus is in your boat, when He's in your life. And it's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, it says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are hard-pressed, tempted, He will provide a way out so you can endure it. Get this, He will provide a way out. He will provide a way out. Only Jesus can provide you a way out. Only Jesus can just sustain you. And the reason sometimes we get overcome with the waves is because Jesus is not in our boat. He's not in our boat. We need to invite Him into the boat. And we need to continually, actively allow Him to be in the boat, making room for Him, margin for Him in our day-to-day life. I was doing some more reading in this. In these boats, the place of the distinguished guest. Get this. In these boats, you know how Jesus, I'm thinking, how was Jesus asleep in a little fishing boat? In these boats, right, I'm going to get the right place. Right in the stern, that's at the back of the boat. That was the place for the most distinguished guest on the boat. They would have sometimes a stool, a pillow, a rug, a blanket. Jesus just doesn't have to be in your boat. He needs to be in the most honored position. Jesus doesn't need to just be in your boat, in your life, a little bit of your life, a little bit of, he needs to be in the most honored position. Do you understand the difference? Jesus is in my life, or Jesus is in the most honored center, most important position in my life. And if we as a church, if you as individuals, as together, if we have Jesus at the most honored position, the number one in our life, I can tell you, my friends, you will go places. God will take you to new places, new intimacy, new insight, new revelation. And get this. What I love about it is this. When you put Jesus at the number one in your life, the most honored position in your life, we're talking about surrender here. If you do that, you will bless many other people. It says in verse 36, there were other boats with them. The blessing of God flowed on from the disciples who had Jesus in their boat, and it blessed the other boats around them. And it's exactly like you. When you have Jesus at number one in your life, you will bless other people around you. You will bless other people around you. And if we want to be a blessing, if we want to see this world transform and changed, we have to surrender and make Jesus the number one. And that's just not a one-off commitment, my friends. That's a continual daily choice that he wants to do something new in you. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, so I want you to start thinking about it. I think an ultimate way of surrender is to get on your knees. And so I went through this morning and spaced out the chairs just that little bit extra. Some of you are going to think, oh, that's not much space. But it's an opportunity. We're going to have an opportunity in a little while for everyone to kneel. If you find it hard to kneel, I want you to stand. Just the decision that in your life, you are, as a public declaration, and it's not to anyone else, that you are willing to surrender to the King of Kings. And I want to tell you, there's a big difference. There's a big difference between obedience and sacrifice. Sacrifice means, I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this. And he says, what do I require? I require obedience, not sacrifice. Obedience. He prefers obedience. And what I want you to think about is I want you to ask the question, is there anything that God has asked you or is asking you or wants to reveal to you that you need to say yes to? And what I mean with this, sometimes we bury our head in the sand. We're too busy. We're doing our thing. We're not seeking God. We're just playing our thing. And we think, oh, God hasn't said anything to me yet. But you actually are deliberately, in some weird way, you're making yourself too busy to hear from God. You're not seeking him. You're not pressing in. And you know what? That's just as bad as being disobedient if he's asked you to do something. And I want to encourage you, think about the question, is there anything that God is asking you that you're not being obedient to? It could be a prompting forgiveness of a loved one. Bitterness that you hold on to, and you're just like, come on, I just got to hand that over. I reckon there's a lot of young people in the room. I reckon, and there's a couple of them, at least a handful, that God's calling for full-time ministry. I think we're all called to full-time ministry. I mean, the priesthood of all believers. But there's a couple in particular that I believe God's got his hand on, and he wants them to step out one day. I'll just say yes. The best thing you'll ever do in your life is to say yes to him, to his ways and to his will. And I've been praying, and I feel like we're here and you know, we God's moving and we're doing some things and great work in the community, and I've seen growth in people, and I'm thinking, God, what is it going to take to see breakthrough and revival in your church. Not just Menai, but in your church. You know what it is? It is utter surrender. It is for every man, woman, and child to have Jesus in their life, but not just in their life, but to Him to take center stage. And that whatever He says, whatever He does, they replicate, they do. And I'm excited for what God is going to do through simple people like me and simple people like you who are willing to surrender and say, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you ask. And I will make margin in my life to seek you. Right now, I want to encourage you to close your eyes, everyone. I want you to, right now, Holy Spirit, I'm just asking that you're going to come and you're going to reveal, what is it? What is it? Anything holding back? You may need to, some of us may need to say, God, forgive me for this. I'm going to start afresh. Forgive me this. What is it that they're revealing? What is it the Spirit revealing to you today? Where does He want to take you? Jesus wants to take you somewhere. You must be willing to leave the crowd. And reminded today that you have everything you need in Him. And right now is a symbolic gesture for you to say again, whether you're 9 or 90, God has something deeper, more intimate, a place that He wants to take you. And a key part of that is to surrender. I'm going to invite you to kneel down where you are. For some, I think there's a handful of people that will need to come and kneel down the front. They would just love to do that. Right now, I just want to encourage you, kneel down. If that's you, if you're just going to say, God, I am going to surrender again my life to you, I want you to kneel down in your seat. If you can't kneel, stand. So now, just a little while, think about what it is. You're on your knees. When you surrender to the King, He's going to do this. He's going to take you to new places. When you're surrendered to the King and trusting Him, no challenge in your life will ever overcome you. No obstacle will be too hard for you. You have everything you need. He's got this. Whatever your challenge or situation, affirm that in your spirit, He has this. He has this. He's got this, and He's going to come through. Just pray. Just pray to Him. God, I love you. God, I'm sorry. God, do a new thing. God, I'm sorry that I've neglected you. God, I surrender to you again today. And this is a line in the sand. I'm going to do a new thing. Right now, just spend some time with your King. Now we're still going to have time for you to pray and be still. And we're going to sing, "This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me." You may want to sing it on your knees. You may want to stand. And that's what it is. That's the desire of when someone surrendered, is the holy presence living in me. It goes on. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And may that be your cry of your heart. And I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you. Are we lost without him? I'm desperate for you. To be surrendered to God is to be desperate for him, for desperate for his ways, for desperate for more. God, I want to go to a new place. I'm not satisfied in my walk now. I'm not going to rely on past things. I want to experience a new revelation. I want you to see something, do something miraculous in the Salvation Army and in this church. Not just a couple of good things and a couple of people getting saved. We want to see the floodgates of people come through this place. And it will happen when God's people are desperately on their knees praying, God, do a new thing in me. So right now we're going to sing this song. And may it be the cry of our heart, I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. May we be people who live and breathe on this.